Hello and welcome to the Friday, June 7th, 2013 edition of the Sand Center Stump Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. The big news today, of course, was an article in the Washington Post talking about a program called PRISM. This government program does enable the NSA to extract information from a number of large internet companies, for example, Facebook, Apple, Skype, and others. This sort of is a follow-up to the reveal a couple of days ago that Verizon was a part of a program like this. As part of this podcast, I want to stay a little bit away from the political implications, but just the fact that this top secret program is discussed in the Washington Post probably may tell you that if the government has access to your data, it may not necessarily be well equipped to keep that data secret and safeguard it. Of course, we also keep hearing about attacks against government networks that are quite frequently successful. So in that respect, it's not necessarily clear who actually had access to that data. Now, none of this access involved any kind of fancy decryption or crypto analysis. It was really just a straight sort of feed from the respective servers as far as the Washington Post describes this. And this just re-emphasizes the standard best practice. As soon as critical data does leave your sphere of influence, you need to encrypt either in transport or at storage. Particularly vulnerable are cloud storage providers like, for example, Apple. Apple, for example, does not encrypt any kind of backups or so that you're uploading to Apple's iCloud service. Same for a lot of the other services, or for example, webmail services like Google's Gmail. At rest, the data is not encrypted, so anybody having access to Google's servers does have access to the content of these emails in clear text. One not so good practice I frequently observe with encrypted email, for example, is where someone receives an encrypted email but then immediately decrypts it and keeps the decrypted copy of the email stored on the mail server. The real purpose of encrypting email is not just the transit encryption. That's pretty well done these days by SSL between mail servers. But instead, the real advantage of encrypting an email is to safeguard it at rest. But let's go back to our normal diet of security news, and we do have next week Microsoft's Patch Tuesday coming up. Today, Microsoft released its usual advanced notification, and it promises 5 different bulletins for next Tuesday. Only one of these bulletins is rated critical, and this critical one affects all versions of Internet Explorer. I expect this to be the typical Internet Explorer rollup patch that we do have typically once a month. The next three bulletins affect Microsoft Windows and are rated important. The last important one affects Microsoft Office. The thing to note here is that it does affect Office on Windows as well as on the Mac. So overall, a light Patch Tuesday. It doesn't look like there's anything specific for servers this month, but some of the Microsoft Windows patches, of course, may apply to servers as well. And then we had a lot of discussion today about a vulnerability in Plesk. This vulnerability was released to a mailing list, and it's not really clear how widespread this particular vulnerability is. It does require a very particular and, in my opinion, a not very smart configuration choice to match a user bin as a script alias. I have seen against our own web server already a couple of attempts to exploit this vulnerability. One of the characteristics of the exploit attempts is that they use the Googlebot user agent string. However, they're sending post requests. I went back through my logs and don't see any legitimate post requests from Google, so I assume Google really only uses GET requests, so that can be pretty easily filtered out. Let us know if you see any requests like this. I'll probably post a quick diary about it. The requests are also heavily Yarling coded, so they really stick out quite obviously. In another post to full disclosure, a user describes to have found a botnet that actually took advantage of this vulnerability and was 900 bots strong. So not a very big botnet, but nevertheless, there appears to be something real here with this vulnerability, and people indeed use this particular bad configuration. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.